You know, some of you know that the main campus church has been there since 1992. We moved in there in February of 92 at the Rhema Bible Church there. The new building. Well, that's the big building. That's the one. That's the only one they know about. And so we are restoring or renovating or whatever you want to say. You know, with new carpet and pews and all kinds of stuff. And you know, in the natural stuff wears out, and you have to renew it. How many of you have ever had to do that with your house? Paint. Carpet. Sometimes after several years, sometimes you have to have new appliances put in, and stoves and ovens and stuff. And but spiritually, this is true. We need to. We may be filled with the Spirit at one time, but we need to continually be filled with the Spirit, be restored. You can always tell the condition of a believer if they need spiritual restoration or not. When you be around them for a little while, you find out that they're no longer concerned about the lost. They're no longer walking in love. They don't seem to have any joy in their life. And you don't ever hear them speaking any words of faith. And, and all they do is talk about yesteryear. Well, you know, God desires to bring forth restoration. And I did a little series called God, the Restoration Series, and I'm going to do part of it here tonight, and it's called God Will Do It Again. You know, in Acts 3:19, it says, "Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send Jesus Christ, who was preached to you before, whom heaven must receive until the times of restoration of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of the holy prophets since the world began." Now, in these verses here, we see that he talks about restoration and refreshing. You know, have you ever noticed that if you, maybe something happens to one of the walls in the house, and so you just try to repaint that one wall, and then when you look at the other three walls in the room, it just don't look right. How many know what I'm talking about? You have to restore the whole thing if you're going to do part of it. You have to... like with carpet. Sometimes you have some carpet, and so you can get the same carpet, same color, same everything, but when you put it down with the old carpet, it doesn't look right. And so this is what it's talking about: refreshing, restoration. He says, God is saying here that all things would be restored. And we also need to realize that we can tap into the restoration in our own lives. Now, what does restoration mean? To restore a thing to its former status. Sometimes some people try to get by. They've been filled with the Spirit one time. And they try to get, but no, you need to continually, the Bible says, continually be being filled with the Spirit. And some other words that restoration you could use: refurbish, repair, renew, reestablish, rebuild. All of those words would be synonymous terms. Now, Christians today are challenged on many issues, and you know, God desires times of restoration in all of our lives. In Acts 3:19-21, which we just read to you, Peter was talking about how all the things will be in the church age, and he mentions two outstanding things. Times of refreshing comes from the presence of the Lord, and times of restoration of all things. Now, I want you to notice that times, that word times, is that singular or plural? Plural. So that means many times, not just once. Times of refreshing and restoration need to be in our lives continually. You know, we should expect those. It's not something that we shouldn't expect. We should expect refreshing and restoration when we read the Word, when we get on and pray. We should expect that. Actually, this means that we're living in the right time. See, Peter here indicates that these two things would happen between Christ's ascension, as we read there in Acts 1, where he ascended, and between his ascension there and when he comes again, these things are going to continue to happen. Now, we need to realize that God wants this to happen in our lives. When he builds something, he builds it for a purpose, and it's to accomplish his divine will among mankind. Now, I want you to notice that he sent Jesus to the world to bring what? Salvation to the lost. But he also to bring healing to the world, you know, to provide for the needy and the poor, to restore people to the status with God that Adam had in the Garden of Eden. It said Adam actually personally walked with God and talked with God, but through the Spirit of God, we can walk and pray and talk with God. Some people say, well, I never have had God talk to me. Well, you must not read the Bible, or you hadn't prayed, because that's when God talks to people. See, now, let's ask ourselves a question. If God restored in the Old Testament, if God restored in the Bible, then can he do it again? Yes, he can. He can do it again. Now, let's go back with Israel. God restored Israel back to their homeland long after they'd been taken captive by the Babylonians. They spent about 70 years in Babylonian captivity. It looked like they'd never get back. But when Israel was in captivity, Daniel read from Jeremiah's scroll and began to pray for the restoration. And then we see in the book of Nehemiah, where he went back and he rebuilt the walls and restored Israel to their former life. You know, y'all awful quiet tonight. Are you just listening, or are you done gone home? Okay, you just listening? Okay, good. Now, as we read in the many times, many people were restored to their former life. In the New Testament, Jesus restored the sick people back to health. The man with the withered hand in Matthew 12:13. Then he said to the man, stretch out your hand, and he stretched it out, and it was restored to whole as the other. Now in Mark 8:25, the blind man, then Jesus put his hands on his eyes and made him look up, and he said he was restored and saw everyone clearly. Here we're talking about restoration. Jesus demonstrated that it was God, the Heavenly Father, that wanted to restore the broken, the sick, those that were in lack and need. He wanted to restore them all again to their former status. See, God restored mankind back to himself through Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. You know, like I said before, And I don't want to get too theological. I don't want to get into a lot of theological stuff. I could, and then me and John would probably be the only ones, because he's been to seminary and I've been to Bible school, and we in some of those classes we get into some deep stuff. But Adam, essentially, when Adam sinned in the Garden of Eden by disobeying God. You see, his sin was he disobeyed God. God told him not to eat of that tree. He did. So he separated himself from God. He was alienated. He was isolated from God, kicked out of the garden. And then God restored mankind back to himself when Jesus went to the cross and died on the cross and rose again from the dead. Through that redemptive work, then we have the spiritually can be restored back to that status spiritually, and one day physically be restored to that position when Jesus comes again. But right now it's spiritual. And look what the psalmist said in Psalms 80, verse 3. Restore us, O God. Cause your face to shine up, your face to shine, and we shall be saved. Now, again, then, in 2 Corinthians 6, 2, Paul declared that in this age that it was the time for man to be restored. He said, in an acceptable time, I have heard you, and the day of salvation, I have helped you. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. We see by this that God is the restorer. He wants to restore everyone. He wants to restore what the enemy has stolen from you. Now, look in Joel 2:23-26. God wants to restore to all of us what has been stolen from us. Be glad then, you children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he's given you the former rain faithfully, and he will cause the rain to come down for you, the former rain and the latter rain in the first month. The threshing floor shall be full of wheat, and the vat shall overflow with new wine and oil. So I will restore to you, there it is, the years that the swarming locusts have eaten, the crawling locusts, the consuming locusts, and the chewing locusts. You shall eat in plenty and be satisfied and praise the name of your Lord God. Now here he is saying, I'm going to restore everything. You see, they had the locusts had come in and eat up everything. And he said, he has given you the former rain and the latter rain. Now, if you know anything about farming at all, if you don't have the rain at before when you plant the crop and have the rain after the crop is planted, you're not going to get as good a harvest as you should get. I don't know much about it. My grandpa was a farmer there in that Blackland of North Central Texas, growing cotton. And when I was just a boy, four, five, 6 years old, then he left the farm. Then, but I do know a little bit about it. I used to watch him. He'd come in and he'd say to my grandmother, he'd say, Savannah, about time to get ready to prepare the field. And I'd say, Papa, how do you know do that? He said, well, he said, you just have to know the signs of the seasons. And the Bible talks about the signs of the times. We need to understand the signs of the time. And the signs of the time for restoration is whenever the enemy has come into you and is taken from you, that's a sign of a time for restoration. Amen. Yeah. Hello. You know, we are the spiritual children of Zion. That was talking about to the descendants of Israel themselves. We are the spiritual descendants of Zion. That Joel is prophesying there. And what the devil has stolen from us, God will restore to us. We have to put our trust in him and believe that. People, you know, go through all kinds of difficulties and things. I mean, our family does. Just because I'm a minister doesn't mean that I don't face problems just like you do with our family, with keeping the ministry going, the church and, you know, the church in Tulsa and 230 Bible schools in 51 nations and 2,500 ministers and churches are all, you know, that's all under you're just part of a worldwide family all over the world. We got Ramas all over the world. And you know, I was just looking on Facebook at what Patty from over in Samoa with that ship, the Uttermost Witness. They call it the Uttermost. The ship's name is the Uttermost. They've been to I don't know how many of those islands this past year. And some of the islands that they went to, they don't know if anybody's ever been in there preaching the gospel. In fact, there's no Wi-Fi, there's no telephone, it's still primitive. It's so primitive that many of the people are still wearing loincloths. And they went in there, they went to this one village, and they had over 485 people except the Lord. And they wanted them to keep stay, but they couldn't. They had to leave to get out. If you got Facebook, you can go to Rhema. Is it Rhema Samoa? I think you can go to RhemaSamoa.com. Maybe, I don't know, but anyway, look it up there and see. And you can see all the things that she's putting on there. You're a part of that. God is restoring people back to him. You know, we all go through difficulties, as I got off from there just a minute. We all have traumatic things happen in our lives. All of us do. The enemy is going to make sure we do because he wants to destroy us, because that's what John 10:10 says, that the thief has come to steal, kill, and destroy, but I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. You know, so God wants to restore. We have to put our trust in him. We have to believe that he is the master restorer and that he will fix it for you. If you don't believe it, it won't happen. You know, I don't know how many of you have ever played sports. A few of you. Have you ever had a coach say to you, if you don't believe you can do it, you won't? I mean, I've had teachers say that. If you don't believe you can do it, you can't. You won't. See, you've got to believe what the Word of God says. If you don't believe the Word, it's not going to happen for you. You can quote it all you want to. A lot of people can quote the Bible, but they don't believe it. Come on now. Don't look at me like I fell out of a tree. I did, but I didn't hit my head. Restoration is something that God wants to do. If your life is broken, he wants to restore it. If it looks unrepairable, he can repair it. You see, it's time to turn everything over to God and let God do it. You know, so many times that the last thing we do is go to God. We try to fix it ourselves. Come on now, don't look at me like that. It's true. And whenever we come up against some, you know, finally, we go to God in prayer. You know, I've learned over the years now, I've been around about 35 years now, so. What are y'all laughing at? I've been preaching over 60 years. And I was born one Sunday morning, and I was in my dad's church the next Sunday, and all I know is God. But, you know, I've learned that, hey, when something happens, the first thing I do is I go to God. I mean, if I can't find something, and I'll ask God, hey, show me where that is, because he knows where it's at. He wants to help you. But we have to allow him to be first place in our life. In fact, that's what I preached this morning, making God your top priority at the main campus over there. But I wanted to talk to you about this year, as we start this year off, make it a priority that you're going to let God do it. Even if he's done it before, he'll do it again. Amen. See, you've got to recognize that no matter what happens, God wants to fix it. Amen. Hello. Amen. God wants to restore things back to you. Others can tell you, well, it can't happen. Others can tell you why it won't happen. Others can say, well, I've never known anybody to be able to come back from what you've experienced. Well, I may not either, but I can tell you one thing. If you'll turn it over to God, you can come back. Amen. No, none of us have it all figured out. But the one thing I do know is that God wants to fix it for you. He wants to fix your life. He wants to be a part of everything that you do in life. I mean, now people sometimes laugh at me, but I pray for good parking places. Yeah. God is interested in every part of our life. We need to learn to let him work for us. I mean, I was in a hurry, and I said, Lord, I need a good parking place. I got stuff to do. And a guy came out, and a guy whipped in front of me again. And I said, well, Lord, they stole my parking place. And immediately I heard in my spirit, oh, I'll get you another one. Because God will do it again. And you know what? I just come on back around. And when I came back around, the guy in the first parking spot was coming out. I got the first one rather than five down where the other one was. It was better. Come on. I mean, do anybody understand what I'm trying to say to you tonight? Is that God is interested in you as an individual. He was so interested in you, an individual, that he sent his son, Christ Jesus, to die on the cross so that you could have salvation. He took stripes upon his back so we could be healed. If he did all that, then he wants to fix it for you. Amen. You know, you may not have it all figured out, but if God can restore people in the Bible and you read the stories, then he can do it for you. You know, the Bible says, I am the Lord and I change not, in Malachi. In Hebrews, it says, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. You know, I don't know whether any of you ever heard the old singers and band that used to travel with us on the road or not. But they had a song that it was called He'll Do It Again. Now, actually, that song was actually written for the Rhema Singers and Band by a girl that was going. It was a friend of one of my friends that was there. He was actually the music director there at Rhema at the time. And she wrote this song for the Rhema Singers and Band. They were the first ones to ever sing it, the first ones to ever record it. Others did, but nobody could do it like they did, I don't think. Now, can't sing it. Now, if we had Rich here, we might could sing it, because he sang it hundreds and hundreds of times. But it said, he's still God, he will not fail you. He's still God, he will not change. He's God, and he's fighting for you. Just like Moses, just like Daniel, just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You may not know how, and you may not know when, but he'll do it again. He'll do it again. God is the restorer. He will do it again. I know this hasn't been very long, but it's very important. What I've said is very important. Heavenly Father, I thank you for these people tonight, and I thank you that you want to fix all of our problems. And I pray tonight, Father, that as people begin to realize what I've just talked to them about, that they'll turn their situation over to you. We may not know what the situation is. We don't need to know. But we do know that you will change their situation. You'll turn it around for them. You'll restore them. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. With heads bowed and eyes closed, I never like to do a message that I don't give an opportunity for somebody that might need to find Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, or someone that may need to rededicate their life to God. It doesn't matter. He'll restore you back to your former status. Praise the Lord. Amen and amen. Everybody stand, please. I don't see any hands. Praise God. Listen, we're going to pray for these cloths, but if anybody here needs prayer for healing, come to the front right now. Just come up to the front right now if you need prayer for healing. Come on up to the front. Stand right over here. We lay hands on you according to the Word of God and pray for you. Hallelujah. Anybody else want to come up, need prayer for healing? Come on now. Praise the Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for healing power flowing into this body and into this cloth. In the name of Jesus, I thank you for healing in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. You said, let the little children come unto you. Father, you're concerned about them. Heal these ears right now in the name of Jesus. Ears, quit hurting in Jesus' name. Amen and amen and amen. Father, I thank you for the healing power of God flowing into this body, driving out sickness and disease in Jesus' name. Amen and amen and amen. Reach your hands out as we pray for Carol and Shirley right here. Father, I thank you right now that they took handkerchiefs and aprons from the Apostle Paul and they laid on the sick. They recovered. The woman touched your clothes and the healing power flowed into her. Father, I thank you that same healing power is flowing into these cloths. As they're taken to Shirley and Carol, I thank you that the pain will go and that healing will be quick in Jesus' name. Amen and amen and amen. Well, praise the Lord. Glory to God. Pam, who's going to get the first-time guest? All right, Pam, get our first-time guest. Take them and give them a special gift that we prepared for them. Thank you for being with us. We'll be here next Sunday night again at 6 o'clock. Come and be with us. Amen. All right, shake hands with everybody. And remember, God will do it again. Amen and amen.